All right, good evening, everyone. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding victory over alcohol and depression, and my name is Jeff. So tonight's going to be somewhat same, somewhat different format. You have your handouts. There is no acrostic tonight. I apologize for that, but there are still some fill-ins for you to do. I'm going to get through some teaching. So tonight's part one of two parts on spiritual inventory. So in 2 weeks, I think it's Tom that's going to be teaching on part two. So a lot of it is going through some questions that are normally asked during your spiritual inventory, and I'll get into what that actually is. But so I'm going to give some time at the end for you to have to write down some responses to some of the questions that we're going to be going over, okay? And then we'll close out. So to begin with, let's look again at principle four and step four. So principle four says, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. And then step four is we made searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord, Lamentations 3:40. So some of you might be wondering, what is a spiritual inventory, and why would you want to do one? So Psalms 139:23 through 24 summarizes a spiritual inventory like this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So the purpose of a spiritual inventory is to identify, one, spiritual roadblocks, or things that are hindering your growth, sins, actions or attitudes that separate you from God, and then three, areas of unsurrender, where you're not fully trusting God. So with those purposes in mind, the outcome we're striving for includes forming a closer relationship with our higher power, Jesus Christ, forgiving ourselves and others of our past mistakes, and achieving spiritual healing and freedom. So the inventory is central to principle four, which is about coming clean, or openly examining and confessing your faults to yourself, to God, and to another person you trust. Most of us don't like to look within ourselves for the same reason we don't like to open a letter that we know contains bad news. We might think, what good could really come from this? Is it going to be like opening Pandora's box? Why not just ignore it and leave the past in the past? So from my own experience in sharing my inventory with my sponsor, it allowed me to kind of sift through my past, tie experiences that I had to choices that I made, and then find peace and healing with the acceptance of being able to tell my story. Most importantly, I was able to bring all of my past into the light. The Bible calls us to this very action in Ephesians 5, 8 through 13. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. When your secrets no longer have power over you, you can find true freedom. Typically, this inventory is completed as part of a step study over several weeks using the participants' guides. For those of you who have not been through a step study, I highly recommend it. We're currently in the middle of this step in our men's study. When preparing to work this step, make sure you keep these guidelines in mind. So you want to schedule privacy, where you need to be in a private place and schedule time to work your answers. You need to stay connected. So it's critical that you stay connected with your accountability partners and with your sponsor so you don't feel alone during this process. The enemy loves to prowl during this time. And make sure you have a support network in place. Balance is key. Learn how to keep your evaluation balanced with regard to your weaknesses and your strength. The inventory must take into account both the good and the bad qualities that make you who you are. And no doubt, each one of us has good and bad qualities. Tonight, we're going to look at some of the bad. Some of the character shortcomings and sins that can block us from receiving all of the joy that God intended for us. We will work on four areas of our character tonight and four more during the next session, aptly named Spiritual Inventory Part 2. So before we get into the four character areas we'll look at tonight, I want to make sure everyone is aware of three different aspects of character. So there's the character that we exhibit, or what people see. There is the character that we think we have, which is our own self-image. And then there is the character that we truly have, which is our authentic self. So keeping these three different aspects of character in mind will help us as we look at each of the four areas we're about to dive into. So once again, once we review these four areas, I will give you some time to answer some questions, okay? The first area that we need to evaluate, and your first fill-in of the evening, is our relationships with others. So in Matthew 6, 12 through 14, Jesus instructs us to pray, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." In this area of our spiritual inventory, we explore our resentments and our grudges, and we determine whether we're jealous of someone else. When doing your inventory, make sure you take the time to evaluate whether you've been blaming others for your own ill-advised choices, and be sure to list those people that you've hurt, been critical of, or gossiped about. So ask yourself the following questions regarding your relationships with others. Number one, who's hurt you? And this could also be institutions that have hurt you as well. Against whom have you been holding a grudge? Writing a grudge down on your inventory is the first step to getting rid of it. They don't go away on their own. Number three, against whom are you still seeking revenge? Did you know that seeking revenge is like biting a dog just because the dog bit you? It doesn't help you or the dog. Are you serious? Are you jealous of someone? Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." Have you tried to justify your bad attitude by saying it is their fault? It has been said that when searching for someone to blame, it's better for me to look in the mirror than through binoculars. Hosea 4:4 tells us, "Don't point your finger at someone else and try and pass the blame." So a grade school teacher of mine told me that when you point your finger at someone, you've got three fingers pointing back at you. I think that's a very important truth. So question number six, who have you hurt? How did you hurt them? You may have hurt them unintentionally, or maybe it was intentional. Write it down. Number seven, who have you been critical of or gossiped about? They say that it isn't difficult to make a mountain out of a molehill. You just have to add dirt to it. That's what gossip is, just a little dirt. I find it amazing that a tongue that's 4 inches long can destroy a man that's 6 feet tall. That's why James 1:26 tells us to keep a tight rein of our tongues. So the second area to explore are the priorities in your life. We naturally do what's important to us. Others identify our priorities by our actions, not by our words. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us what will happen if we make God our number one focus. He will give to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to. In this section, try to identify those areas of your life which you're still not putting God first. Notice whether or not your priorities have been self-centered or self-serving. Examine the possibility that misplaced priorities may have had a negative effect on those close to you. Ask yourself the following questions. So number one, after making the decision to turn your life and your will over to God, in what areas of your life are you still not putting God first? What drawer are you not letting him enter and clean out? Number two, what in your past is interfering with your doing God's will? Is it your ambition? Is it driven by serving God, or is it driven by envy? Your pleasures? If your pleasure has been found in the world, Proverbs 21:17 warns, "He who loves pleasure will become poor." Is your pleasure now found in Jesus Christ? Psalm 16:11 tells us, "You will teach me how to live a holy life. Being with you will fill me with joy. At your right hand, I will find pleasure forever." Question three, what have been your priorities in your job? Friendships, personal goals? Were they just self-centered or self-serving? Selfishness turns life into a burden. Unselfishness turns burdens into life. Question 4, who did your priorities affect? You know, you will never get so rich that you can afford to lose a true friend. Question 5, what was good about your priorities? Question 6, what was wrong about them? So the next area of spiritual inventory involves examining our attitudes or your attitudes. Ephesians 4:31 counsels us to get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Look for areas of your life for which you're ungrateful. Reflect upon whether you've been easily angered by or sarcastic towards someone else. Explore why you're still fearful of certain people and situations. Ask yourself the following questions. Number 1, do you always try to have an attitude of gratitude, or do you find yourself always complaining about your circumstances? When you feel dog tired at the end of the day, do you ever think that it might be because you've been barking all day? In what areas of your life are you ungrateful? If we can't be grateful for the bad things in our lives that we've received, we can at least be thankful for what we have escaped. And that is one thing we can all be grateful for, which is found in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you gotten angry at people and easily blown up at them? I'm sure this question only resonates with a few people here tonight. Moving on to the next completely unrelated topic. Question 5, have you been sarcastic? I personally don't believe in sarcasm. Actually, I have a sign in my house that says sarcasm, one of the many services that I offer. The thing that I did have to learn about sarcasm, though, is that it can be a form of verbal abuse if you use it incorrectly. So you really have to make sure that you're not directing it in a mean-spirited way towards people. So try to think of times when your sarcasm has had a negative impact on someone. So what in your past is still causing you fear or anxiety? As you may have heard before, your fear imprisons you, but your faith liberates you. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. Faith in Jesus Christ will allow you to face your past fears. And with faith, you can be free of fear's chains. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." So the last area we're going to talk about tonight is your integrity. In Colossians 3:9-10, we're instructed, "Do not lie to each other. You have left your old sinful life and the things you did before. Look for areas in your life which you've been dishonest, areas in which you may have exaggerated your own good qualities or achievements to make yourself look good. Examine whether or not you live one way in front of your Christian friends and another way at home or at work. Ask yourself the following questions. Number 1, in what past dealing were you dishonest? It has been said that an honest man alters his ideas to fit the truth. A dishonest man alters the truth to fit his ideas. Have you stolen things? Number 3, have you exaggerated yourself to make yourself look better? Number 4, in what areas of your past have you used false humility? Did you know that humility is never gained by seeking it? To think we have it is sure proof that we don't. Last question. Have you pretended to live one way in front of your Christian friends and another way at home or at work? Are you a Sunday Christian or a 7-day full-time follower of Jesus Christ? Do you try to practice the 8 principles 7 days a week or just here at Celebrate Recovery? So having walked through the 4 character areas to begin your spiritual inventory, what I'm going to do now is give you guys some time to write down some answers to some questions that I'll have them put up on the screen. So these, I just grabbed some of the more pertinent questions out of those that we just walked through. So what I'd like you to do is take the next 3 minutes, so it's 7:14 right now, So at 7:17, I think is how math's on that. We'll start back up again. But the idea here too is, and great idea, take pictures of these. If you're not comfortable answering these now, go revisit them later. But try and take the time to write them down. Transferring your thoughts out into a physical medium is part of the process. It's getting something intangible tangible. So I will give you some time now to do just that. One-minute warning.
Yes, teacher.
All right. Well, welcome back. I hope you were able to at least get to one question, or at least start thinking about what a spiritual inventory might look like and starting to answer some of these questions as you kind of probe a little bit deeper within yourself and within your past. So in the next teaching, we'll explore some of our old ways of thinking, our minds, the ways we've treated or mistreated God's temple, our bodies, how we did or didn't walk by faith in the past, and our most important past relationships with our family and our church. So as you start to work on your spiritual inventory, remember two things. First, in Isaiah 1:18, God says, "No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow." God loves you already and already knows everything you've done. He can handle all of your sins and forgive them. Second, and I can't say this enough, is to make sure that you try and keep your inventory balanced. Make sure you consider the positive aspects of your life and relationships and the areas of your life where you've been able to turn over to God and how your attitude has improved since you've been in recovery and the ways you've been able to step out of denial and into God's truth. So like getting your car serviced or having regular spiritual checkups, it's necessary to prevent small issues from becoming major problems. So as your maintenance routine becomes more habitual and you start moving towards more of a daily inventory, you'll see that things tend to run a little bit more smoothly for you and that you'll have additional capacity to deal with issues that might have been overwhelming in the past. So with that, I'd like to close this out in prayer. Father God, thank you for each person here tonight. Thank you for giving them the courage to begin this difficult step of making an inventory. Give them the desire and strength they need to proceed. Encourage them and light their way with your truth. In the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you.